Yeah, I made it over.
And I'm all right now. Amen, amen. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. We give God the praise and glory. I certainly thank God for my mother. She's in heaven. And I'm thankful to God that she showed me the way. Sometime when I didn't want to see the way, she knocked the way into me. Amen. But I'm standing where I'm standing, partly because of her prayers and much because of her correction. So I thank God for Mama today. I'm going to ask all the mothers to please stand, if you would, and let us give you a hand of applause. Amen. All the mothers, please stand. Amen. We certainly appreciate you. Now, I'm going to ask all of the single moms, whether you a widow or whether you a widower or a single mom or divorcee, I'm going to ask you to stand. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I wanted the single moms to stand because I am going to emphasize them in this sermon today as we share God's word. And again, we are thankful that the Lord has blessed every one of us. As in this world, you had a mother. And she brought you into the world. And if your mother was like mine, she told you she could take you out. And you didn't argue with them. Amen. But our scripture passage today is found in 2 Kings, two verses that we're going to lift up. And I'm going to be talking about God's hidden treasure. God's hidden treasure. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he feared the Lord. But now the creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. Now would be a good time to ask every one of us, what do you really have? What do you really have? Let us pray. Father, we are thankful for all of your blessings. Thank you for being here today. And Lord, we are just asking that you would bless and move among us. We don't take it for granted that we are in the presence of the Lord. And that you are worthy of all praise. And Lord, you're worthy to be honored and feared above all else. So we give you the glory and all the praise. Speak to our hearts now. Help us to discern the truth, that the truth might set us free. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen, amen. Before we get into the passage, I think it's interesting that we're living in what we might call a special dynamic today. Families are fractured. No one would debate with that. But what we're also seeing is that a lot of the burden is placed on the mother to keep whatever's left of the family together. This is certainly not to say that you don't have men who are not only in the household, but some of them themselves are heads of household for whatever reason. We're not here to point the finger today. What we are here to do is to talk about, what are we dealing with? What are some of the issues that we are facing, and how can we as a church, one thing is, better pray for? How do we pray more effectively for these families that we're facing? Because as Tony Evans said, if you don't have a family, you don't have a church. Amen. If you don't have a church, you don't have a community. Amen. If you don't have a community, you don't have a state. You don't have a state, you don't have a nation. And so forth. Such is the state of our world. So I want us to take a look today as we look at the peril or the difficulties that a lot of the single mothers are facing. Not to say that mothers who are in what we might call the complete home are not facing them, because sometimes you got a father there in name only. We'll get to the men on Father's Day, but surely there's a need for everybody to step up and do their part. Single motherhood is perhaps, and has always been, what we might call an unstable family structure, and yet it exists. Some interesting facts that I came across, an article of Emma Johnson, and she was bringing out some of the things that's happening in our nation. 15.6 million single mom households in the United States. 15.6 million. That's a lot of people. For a nation less than what we might call 300 million in our nation. And yet 15.6 million households, that's almost one-fourth of our population. By the way, the United States has the highest single mom rate of all of the nations, all of 130 nations that were surveyed in the world. Isn't that something? And to say that they're under pressure would be an understatement. To say that they're facing a lot of issues would definitely be an understatement. And also we found out from the survey, Pew Research Center also brought out the fact that the household income, money you got coming in the house, for the single mom is somewhere around the neighborhood of $26,000 a year versus a family where you have a two-income earner household, about $80,000 a year. And even the $80,000, you can run short on that. So we've got an income disparity. We've got an issue with the fact that you've got single mothers having to bear the load of parenting by themselves with less money. 23% of our families in the U.S., single moms are having to carry that burden. I applaud you today. I applaud you today because you're strong. But you got to get grace from somewhere. Amen. You can't do it by yourself. Somebody said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. I know I can get some amen from the single mom today. Amen. So when we get into this passage and we start thinking about what Elisha was dealing with, he really gave us a couple of principles that the church could implement to help some of these struggling families. Not just for the mothers, but families in general. We're not just to stand on the corner, have a steeple up top, and say, hey, y'all come. We're here to help people in need. If we're not here to help people in need, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian, would say, you need to question your religion. We're here to build people up. We're here to encourage them in the things of God. We're here to equip them to face all of the issues, all of the problems in life, because God will provide. So we're going to take a look at this today. We're going to take a look at what happened in that exchange between Elisha the prophet and this woman who had lost her husband, now has children in jeopardy because of the fact that her husband, the income earner, is now gone. Y'all know preachers don't make a whole lot. I just thought I'd put that in. That wasn't even in my notes. Just thought I'd add. So the prophet had died. Now this woman is struggling by herself. And in that day, to pay a debt, they could sell or they could confiscate children and turn them into slaves. I'll get back to that in just a minute. I'll get back to that in just a minute. But that's the scenario that we're looking at today, and that's the thing that we need to pay attention to. How can we respond as the church of the living God? If we say our God is strong, does God have the answers? Will he equip his church to help single moms, moms with whole households, dads? How can we serve and honor God in a way that we can build people up? That's where we're going today. Sound all right? And we're saying this is a hidden treasure. Something hidden you don't know you got. How many of y'all lost $20 and then you knew it was somewhere in your house? And some of y'all might not mind losing $20, but I'm going to tell you something. When your gas tank needle is doing one of these numbers, $20 mean a whole lot. You know it's there, but you can't find it. In a desperate situation, this woman ran to the prophet and said, "You know how my husband served the Lord, how he feared God, how he honored him. And now I've got a problem. I've got an issue that I need God to do something." Ladies and gentlemen, people are crying out in the communities and asking, is there an answer? Three things a church ought to be able to do. One of them is listen without judging. Listen without judging. Do you know how many ridiculous prayers God hears? How many times we pray to God and he still listens to us? He still hears our cry. No matter how feeble, no matter how desperate it is, God still hears our cry. Why can't the people of God listen? Elisha did that. He listened. I'll bring that out in just a second. Second thing is ask helpful questions. I know a lot of y'all in school, y'all have teachers that, you know, why am I teacher asking me that? Because they want you to tell them what they told you. I figured it out when I got into 12th grade that all the teacher wanted for me to do is to tell her what she told me in the first place. And when they write it on the board, they're not drawing figures for you. They're giving you the answer. God has a way of writing on the boards of our heart the message that we need. His hidden treasure is revealed every day to people who will simply pay attention. Elisha asked some very powerful questions. Matter of fact, two questions that he asked her. What do you want me to do? What do you already have? Before you start bombarding heaven, Lord, you just don't know what I'm going through. You need to ask yourself the question, what do I really want God to do? What do I already have that God might be able to use? Third thing that Elisha did, and as we give this summary, he engaged the person. He engaged the person. You might even call it empowering them. That's a good word. Back in the 90s, we used it a whole lot. In training, we'd say, we're going to empower you. People sit there, yeah, I'm going to get empowered. And they walk out with a big head, but no real strength. Years I spent in community action, I learned something very valuable. You can do things for people and they'll never learn a thing. You can do it over and over again, repeat it time after time. They will never learn a thing until you allow them to do for themselves. The prophet was wise. He had the wisdom of God. He didn't say, well, I'm going to come over and I'm going to fix the problem. No. Once you identify what the need is and God gives you the resource, he tells you, do the work. Let's dig into this because I got your attention now. Every eye open, I got your attention. But as we think about the hidden resources, think about the things that God may not have on the surface for you to see, But if you start digging, if you start pulling back some of the, what we might call the folds of life and the worries and fears, once you start pulling those things back, you can say, aha, here's what God wanted me to see all along. Let me say this to you. Some of you mothers have had to face some very tragic situations. You had to go through some stuff that you never thought you'd have to go through. But because you went through it, you're so much stronger now. You have yet to figure out, well, how much did God really give me? Because you were so benefited by what God did, how he walked you through it and held you by the hand and made you strong. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. So how do you get to the hidden treasure? The first thing is listen, and listen well. In the military, we were taught to listen, because if you didn't listen, you wouldn't get the command. If you didn't get the command, you wouldn't know what to do. And if you didn't know what to do when you got into a battle situation, you would lose the battle. And it's that same way spiritually. If you don't listen well, you'll miss the point that God is trying to show you. Did God already know about this woman and her situation? Of course he did. Yet God allowed it to reveal his power. Ran across the scripture in Psalm where it says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. You don't have a God in heaven who's hard of hearing. You have a God who opens his ear to hear your prayer. That's how much he loves you. If God loves the world, then he has to listen to the world, right? And if he listens to the world, he knows your need better than you do yourself. God understands you. And Psalmist said, the Lord loves you in such a way that he listens and hears every word. Matter of fact, God even has numbered the hairs of your head. He knows you inside and out, everything about you. If we notice from the passage, when the woman came to the prophet, now prophets were known to have this insight from God. The Lord would tell them ahead of time what was going on. So Elisha could have said to the woman, I know what you're going to ask. I know how you're going to ask it. And this is what he didn't do that. She stated her case. Let me give you some quick notes on how to pray. One, honor God before you pray. Because if you don't honor God, if you just think he's just the genie upstairs, let me just throw up a prayer request and get him to fill it out and send back down the blessing. Send it on down, Lord. Wait a minute. He's your heavenly Father. You need to honor him. But then you need to know how to pray. Get in this book right here, and you're going to find some of the best prayers that's ever been prayed. And you can just put yourself in that place and say, Lord, I'm right here where that person is, and I want you to hear my prayer. And guess what God will do? He will hear your prayer. So what do we got so far? We got a single mom who had a request. Her sons were going to be sold as slaves for the payment of a debt, and she didn't know what to do. She stated her case clearly. Did God hear her prayer? Yes, he did. Through that intermediary, try saying that on an early Sunday morning, through that person who was going to make intercession, Elisha, she prayed. And God heard her prayer through the prophet. Now, let me help you out today. You don't have to go through the preacher, the prophet, or the priest. You can go directly to the throne of God. You can call on God yourself. You don't have to worry about, can I pray as good as that person can? Can I pray like that one? No. You pray from your heart. Call him up and tell him what you want. And God, I'll pray with you. And don't get me wrong, I'll pray with you, but I'm not going to pray for you, because you can pray for yourself. Look at somebody, tell him, I can pray for myself. He listens. He listens. As a matter of fact, he wants to hear from you. Been 3 weeks now, you ain't talked to him. You need to pray. So Elisha listened and heard her prayer, but then he asked the question. He He said, okay, you're here with this need, you're here with this situation. What do you want me to do? In the Bible, the New Testament, we read about Jesus in the gospel. This blind man came to him. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. And you know what Jesus did? He asked him, what do you want me to do? Not that he didn't see the obvious need. Jesus knew that he was blind, but he wanted to hear it from him. God wants to hear it from you. So here's the question. Here's the question. How can I help you? Boy, I wish somebody would learn that in customer service. I'm just saying. I mean, you go to these little drive-through lines, right? You're going to get some food and you got somebody there. And sometimes they'll ask you, hello, how can I help you? But most of the time, Lord have mercy, you get baby kids. Had one of them say to me, what you want today? I start to say, get out of this line. I'm just saying. Why can't people talk pleasantly to one another? I know you're in a great big world. And I know everybody's trying to get to where they want to go, but take some time to talk to people. Especially for some of the struggling mothers. Sometimes you can see the worry on their face. Sometimes you can see the anxiety that they're actually going through. And you simply want to say, hey, how can I help you? And it may be just giving them a break today. Smiling. Maybe saying hello. Amen. One of the worst places to get hurt is in a church. We think, well, you know, I'm just trying to do my job. Wait a minute, hold up. Be polite. And my grandma said, show some manners. When you do that, you change the whole atmosphere. I guarantee you, in this room right now, if everybody would start smiling, it'll change the whole atmosphere. Yeah, that's what I like. That's what I like. Elisha knew how to ask questions. We don't ask questions. We simply assume, I know why you're here, and I know what you need. No, you don't. If I haven't told you, you have an assumption. You don't know what I really need. If God can be so polite to ask, why can't we? Two questions, powerful questions. How can I help you? Second question, what do you have in your house? Now I'm coming down your street. As the old folks say, I'm fitting to preach now. Because a whole lot of stuff you begging God for, he's already put it right at your fingertips. All you got to do is look. Tell somebody, say, look. When you look, when you seek, you shall find. When you knock, the door shall be open. You've got to have the faith to believe that God can do what you're asking him to do. Can I get a witness? Now, notice the response of this woman. Notice her response. I ain't got nothing. What is she doing? She's looking at her problem rather than trying to find a solution. Uh-huh. I got some of y'all now. I got you. I got you. What you want to do is to get somebody's sympathy. Oh, you poor thing. Yeah, it's bad. I'm going to sit here and cry with you. And yes, the Lord does listen to our plea. He hears our cry. But let me tell you something. If you call on God, he's going to help you. He may not come when you want him, but it's on time. Can I get some witnesses in here? You may have to wait a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Don't know how long, but when the Lord gets ready, when God moves in your situation, he can make a way out of no way. Won't he do it? So the woman started saying, wait a minute, I ain't got nothing in my house. She overlooked a small jar of olive oil. Looked every place else, trying to scrape up money. Maybe your need is not the money that you're praying for God to give you. Come on, somebody. Maybe it's not all of the, oh God, make this number work for me today. I'm desperate. Got nerve not to pray. Work it, Lord. Work it, Lord. I know I stepped on your toe. I know I stepped on it. So she said, I don't have anything. First response. Second response, but. It's always the exception that the miracle comes through. That little small thing that you didn't count on. That little one thing that looks like it's not going to make it. It ain't much. God doesn't need much. He just needs a willingness for you to give it. I got a small jar of oil, and now the Lord is getting ready to take over. You may not even have the small jar of oil, but you got a little bit of faith. You got a little bit of confidence. What this world has done is beat you down. Told you you were nothing. Wrong family. No real future. No education. How are you going to make it? You're going to make it because God is on your side. And if the Lord be with you, you don't even need to fear. You know why? Because he walks with you. He talks with you. He will whisper in your ear and tell you things that the most brilliant person would never be able to figure out. God will tell you if your heart is right. Come on. Let me see the hands of where God, you call on God and need an answer and the Lord gave it to you. Watch this. And then people had nerve enough to look at you. How did you know that? Then you can tell them the Lord did it for me. Ask the powerful questions. Ask the powerful questions. Before you help people, ask them questions. What do you really need? What do you already have? Two powerful things that will help you to discover your greatness. Because God put it in you. I'm going on to my sermon. I'm almost closing it. I can probably just close the sermon. Say, God put it in you. That's my catchphrase. But let me show you. Let me show you what happens here. So I get ready to close. Engage people. Engage people. I want to tell you that one of our biggest problems, Sean gave a request out today for help, people to help in the ministry. And a lot of people will think, oh, that's going to cost me my time. Did you not know for every minute that you spend in ministry, God empowers you in other ways in your life? Did you know that? God does some amazing things in your life that you didn't even know that you could do, because now you're not only discovering the gifts of God, you're discovering the abilities of God, the strength of God, what God can do through you. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why did he say that? He said that because those who are able to give have been empowered. They now have the resources. So here's the plan. Here's the thing that you're going to do when you get back home today. You're going to really look at this thing and you can say, okay, I don't need my neighbors to give me some empty jars, but I do need my neighbors to help me out in something. This is your neighborhood, okay? I want to declare that right now. This is your neighborhood. The church is your neighborhood. Person sitting next to you for a few minutes, they're your neighbor. They can help you. Because where you're lacking, they can help you to supply that lack. Are y'all listening to me today? No one should have to suffer by themselves. Let me say this. Even when people suffer because of something they did, you're still no judge. Who gave you a black robe? We've all come short of the glory of God. A lot of these single mothers, yeah, they made some poor mistakes, but they're learning. If you condemn them, who are they going to? Be on their side. Help them to make it through their journey. Amen? How do you engage a person? Here's what Elisha did. He said, now, okay, go ask your neighbors for some vessels, empty jars. They ain't using them since they're empty. They're not using them. By the way, I'm going to take y'all back to the country. Can I do that? We had recycling in the country before recycling was even discovered. Because you didn't throw away nothing. Buckets, jars, especially mason jars, you're gonna use them threefold. Until they crack or break, you're going to still use them. I remember, Mom, this jar got a crack and ain't nothing wrong with it. You're going to use it. The stuff you're throwing away, you go to the store and you buy the same thing. Amen, somebody. I remember, I got to say this. This is one of those deja vu moments. I remember, Miss Cabler, when we didn't wear jeans that had rips in them. Miss Cabler, I can remember going to the store and getting the patches. Put on the patches. Now people going to the store playing big money to wear clothes with holes in them. What in the world? What in the world? Some of y'all young people are just smiling. Yeah, I just spent $75. Give me a pair of Levi's that got holes in them. That's enough of that. That's enough of that. Here's some things I think is very practical. He said, go and ask your neighbors for empty vessels. Bring as many as you can find, not a few, just a lot of them. When you get into your house, close the door. Close the door. Other people don't need to know what you talk to the Lord about. Getting on your cell phone, putting it on Facebook. You messing up your prayer. Well, let me put this out there as a prayer request. No, 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 no. This is between you and God. Close the door and watch God work. We have gotten ourselves into so much trouble spiritually because we don't know how to keep it in God's hand. Watch this. Why let other folks into that place where God is going to reveal his power if they couldn't help you in the first place? You asked them for the $20 and they told you no. Now, why do they need to know your business of what God's going to do in your situation? I tell them, ain't none of your, what you doing over there ain't none of your business. Me and the Lord worked it out. Somebody said you got to go to your secret closet. You got to tell God what the need is. And don't let other folk come in and comment on it. When next thing they know, you've already got your blessing, already doing what the Lord told you to do. That woman started pouring out of that oil. She got finished with one vessel and set it aside. She got finished with another one and set it aside. Then finally she asked the boy, you got any more vessels? He said, that's the last one. And the oil stopped, which meant God had more if you had more capacity. God can make a way out of no way. He can provide for your deepest need if you would just allow him to have his way. I hate the fact that we call on God for a blessing, but then we need everybody else's approval. I don't need your approval. All I need is Jesus. Come on, talk to me in here. All you need is the Lord to move in your life, and God will provide. Come here, Paul. Come here, Paul. He wrote it in the New Testament. He wrote it in the book of Philippians. He said, my God shall supply what? All your need. Reverend Gibbons, what does all mean? All means all. And that's all it means. You've got to let God have his way. You've got to let him provide for you. The Lord provided for this woman now. She didn't take control. I know some of y'all moms, you're super moms. You want to look at that. I got it made. Courtney, I know you're strong, but you still need the Lord. She went back to the prophet and said, now, I've done what you said. What do I do now? She didn't assume. He said, take the money because you're following God's instructions. And may I just say before I close, if your money does not have priorities, you'll spend it anywhere. Amen. On anything. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that one in there. But when you allow God to speak to you, not only to give it, but also how to use it, you're going to use it to bless you for the rest of your life. That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do. Now, I'm going to hurry up and close. I see some of y'all getting starry-eyed like, okay, Red, when you going to wrap this thing up? I'm going to wrap it up right now. Here we go. Three takeaways. One, count your blessing instead of your problem. Say that with me. Count your blessing instead of your problem. When you go to God, count the blessings. Count what he's already done for you. Count what he's already given you. He knows you got a problem. He knows what you need even before you ask him. But tell him how you are blessed, how you are highly favored, how you're grateful for everything that he's done for you. Secondly, look for ministry and miracles will happen. When you engage in ministry, I'm going to tell you something. When you start rolling up your sleeve and helping someone else, you know what God's going to do? He's going to bless you. He's going to work in your life in miraculous ways. And you're going to say, God, I didn't know I could do that. Of course you didn't, because you were not engaged in the work of God. Every one of us in this room ought to leave here today determined that we're going to encourage one person this week. Amen. Especially a single mom. You're going to go to them and say, hey, you're doing a good job. You're doing great. If you need anything, just ask. I'll do what I can. Amen. Third thing, be confident in the things that God has called you to do. What if that woman had said to herself, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know. Lord bless everybody else. Don't look like he blessed my house. She was confident it was going to work. She was confident that God was going to come through. Before you leave here today, I want you to have the confidence that God's going to provide in your life. I know we got maybe some dads in here who are single parent. You got to do everything yourself. That's just the way it happened. But have the confidence that what God told you to do, it's going to work. I don't want anyone else to come to church and never get anything out of church. I want you to come and get something. I want God to deposit something in your spirit, because this world is crazy. This world is unforgiving. This world will rip you apart. But if it had not been for God and the confidence that you got in the Lord, how many of you know right now that the Lord has provided for me every day of my life? He's going to continue to provide. Stand on your feet. Give God the praise in here, because he is worthy. He did it for you. He worked it out. He's going to continue to provide for your need. The blessing of the Lord is going to be in your life. And all you've got to do is stay focused on him. Bless the Lord. Bless him. Because he is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you today. We love you today. We praise you today. Thank you for that hidden blessing, that hidden treasure that's in our hearts right now. I pray that you would take this lesson and help us, Lord, that we might continue to do your work, not just to serve ourselves, but to serve others and to be a blessing to them. We love you and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we do ask it all. And all the people of God said, amen, amen, amen. For those of you that have joined us online, thank God you were tuned in. Now you know that you've got some hidden treasure. Write to us, pastor@crossroadbc.com. And we would love to communicate with you and let you know that God has continued to bless you. If you're in here today, I want to give you the invitation. Maybe you are here on this Mother's Day and somebody drugged you to church. But God spoke to your heart. God got your attention. And now you feel a conviction. What do you do about it? You do the same thing that this woman did. She came to the prophet and she said, this is my need. We're here today to help you with your need. If there's one today, we invite you to come. Is there one?